You're listening to The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It's amazing to get to come to y'all with good news. All right, there's been a lot of black pilling here, of course. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins here hosting The American Journal, really having a good time bringing in the morning with y'all. But there's been a lot of negativity, has there not been?
Now
we got a peace deal on the table.
Yeah, we got a peace deal. It's very interesting. I'm not sure whether it's going to stick. It could stick.
Right. We'll discuss that today.
We will discuss that today. There's a lot that's been happening. I mean, just over the last 24 hours, I mean, you had everything from the Iran state asking people to come to the streets, protect the power plants.
Yes.
You had people lined up by the droves, and then you have Israel still getting attacked, and there's a lot of things happening all at once. And so this morning we're going to give you guys a breakdown to the best of our ability of what's happening and sift through all the noise.
Sure. Let's go ahead and pull up the Trump tweet. I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then we're going to get into the Iranian statements as well. Keep in mind, there was a doomsday ultimatum. He was going to send them back to the Stone Age. It would be the end of their civilization. All of these things that he was saying, if they didn't come up with a deal by 8 o'clock at night, I don't think he really wanted to attack.
That's what I was going
to
ask you. Do you really think he was bluffing?
No, I think this is a classic case of Taco Trump. And I think he was looking for an off ramp, and I think he finally found one. Thank God.
I was leaning towards what you're saying there, but I was like, there's an ounce of me that feels like he's crazy enough to do this because of the condition that he's in.
Sure. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and read this, and then I'm gonna get into why like there's still a massive problem with this, and it's actually not America's fault this time. I'm not gonna rag on Trump. It's Netanyahu's fault. Let me go ahead and read this. Based on conversations with Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif and Field Marshal Asim Munir of Pakistan, and wherein they requested I hold off the destructive force being sent tonight to Iran and subject the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing or subject to the Islamic subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to the complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz, I will stop the bombing for 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so is that we already have met and exceeded all military objectives, whatever that means, and are very far along with the definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace in the Middle East. We received a 10-point proposal from Iran and believe it is a workable basis on which to negotiate. Okay, so break that down for people, because nothing's set in stone here.
Yeah, nothing's set in stone. This agreement is between the U.S. and Iran, not Israel and Iran. And that was the thing that was confusing me the entire time over the last 24 hours, because I've been tracking this overnight. I've been tracking it this morning.
Sure.
And, you know, you see the reports of missiles still flying over Tel Aviv and the alarms. I'm like, wait, is this not all together?
Well, let's think about it for a second.
Yeah.
So let's think about Trump saying we've succeeded in fulfilling all the objectives. Keep in mind, the U.S. stated goal for being in this war, there's been a lot of different reasons they've thrown out there, especially my favorite is that we've been at war with them since 1979. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to invade. But it's always been about the nuclear threat.
Yeah,
right. It's always been about the nukes. We don't want them to have the enriched uranium, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? We're going to go over the deal. There's no mention of the enriched uranium. Okay. Or at least they're going to be able to enrich it at some level. So
yes.
Americans have died. Thousands of civilians have died. This war of aggression that we started, we can't fulfill that objective. But maybe we can get some sort of deal where they're willing to come down to some sort of percentage. I'll tell you what they're not going to budge on at all. The ballistic missile program.
Now, also, this is from him this morning.
We got breaking news.
A country supplying military weapons to Iran will be immediately tariffed on and only goods sold to the United States of America, 50% effective immediately. There will be no exclusions or exemptions.
Ooh,
President DJ.
China and Russia are so scared.
6:30.
They're terrified. Well, the thing is Iran has its own military infrastructure because they've been sanctioned forever.
Hold on. I thought the Supreme Court knocked down his ability to use tariffs. What happened to that?
There's some sort of loophole around it where he can still do it in a different way. It's all – I don't pretend to be a lawyer, you know.
Like
God knows what happens in those courts.
Wow.
You know, we can't even begin to understand.
Yeah, so that – I mean, that's breaking as of this morning.
Yeah, I'm going to read it. Okay, a big day for world peace. Iran wants it to happen. They've had enough. Likewise, so has everybody else. The United States of America will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. There will be a lot of positive action. Big money will be made. I mean, it's gross, man. Iran can start the reconstruction process. will be loading up with supplies of all kinds and just hanging around, in quotation, it's okay, in order to make sure that everything goes well. I feel confident that it will, just like we're experiencing in the U.S. This could be the golden age. We hope so. We hope so. I don't want to be too negative, right?
Like, I don't
want to
be too negative.
Maybe this is a magical turnaround point.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to break down everything. We've got what the Iranians are saying, what the United States' official position is. The thing is people on the Iranian side and people who support the Iran side are like, oh, the U.S. is lost. And there's propaganda on both sides is what I'm realizing here.
Well,
I don't think Trump has fully succeeded on the 10-point peace plan that they've proposed. It's not even a peace plan, because there's some things in there that I'm like, there's no way we would agree to this. One of those being complete removal of the United States from the region.
Yeah,
I don't see how that happens.
I don't think that they're actually going to angle for that. What they're going to do is, I think they're just going to continue to hit the Gulf nations instead of hitting the military bases, and they're going to make them leave through another means.
That's
what I see there. And you know, people are really celebrating this online, as they should. Like, this is a great thing. But a lot of people are saying now, because of the peace deal or peace plan, that this entire war has been worth it. Hmm. What was achieved? I want to go ahead and read the Iran's 10-point peace plan. This is the Midas Touch article if you want to do overhead shot. Iran's 10-point peace plan. Number one, guarantee that Iran will not be attacked again. So that's some sort of security guarantee that includes – it's got to include another nation like Russia, China, India, one of these big countries, Pakistan, one of these countries in the region. Number two, permanent end to the war, not just a ceasefire after the 2 weeks. Three, this is the big one, okay? End to Israeli strikes in Lebanon. Okay, 1.2 million people displaced. Yeah. Number four, lifting of all U.S. sanctions on Iran. That's massive. Five, end all regional fighting against Iranian allies. So, I don't see how Trump agrees to this. You know, like that's Hamas and Hezbollah, and we know how Trump feels about them.
Yep. Keep going.
Iran would reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Iran would impose a $2 million fee
for
shrill.
Seven can't.
No, I heard Simon Dixon break it down on the space. And
are you kidding me?
Actually, no, I heard Gary Cardone break it down on the space, and he said, like, that's basically like $2 a barrel tax, because these super tankers, they carry like a million barrels.
Yeah, but whatever. But here's the problem, and I do have that article on it, but the strait is supposed to be one of those things where it's international waters and no one owns that region. People should be able to travel freely.
Sure, but there's like they're pointing at it and going like, look, like the Suez Canal, Panama Canal, they charge fees. Like Egypt charges a fee, like per example. So now we want to charge a fee as well.
No, and I get that. But like, they're not the only ones. Like, there's two sides to it.
It's true.
So it's
true.
Not like I know Iran is in a power position, but Oman is there.
Number eight, Iran would split the fees with Oman.
Oh, okay.
So it becomes like it's more of a regional power block thing, as to say, like, United States, Israel, you do not control this region. We're actually the people here.
They're trying to fluff their feathers.
Yeah, and it's also them being friendly to Oman. Number nine, Iran would establish rules for safe passage through Hormuz. Number 10, so that means they're going to keep it under military occupation.
Mm.
So like they're going to have checkpoint there. Number 10, Iran would use Hormuz fees for reconstruction instead of reparations.
Okay.
So instead of the U.S. having to pay.
Well, I mean, it is a long-term gain for them to do that, right?
Sure.
Because if they get reparations, that's something. But this can last for generations if they're able to do it. I don't. How do you feel about this 10-point peace plan?
Well, I mean, I think that parts of this are extremely unlikely. Parts of it have already been violated. It just depends on, like, here's the thing. We talk about it a lot. I'm sure the Iranians want this to stop at some level, right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing is, like, we had Suleiman on, and he's like, it's just like Ukraine, like, fight the last Ukrainian type of thing, where it's a rally around the flag effect. We get that. But ultimately, they do want, you know, they do want to have a country. So
no, and I believe they should have sovereignty. I think they should have the right to defend themselves. I think they should have the right to trade in the sanctions. It's just, again, I don't want them to get to the point where they feel like, oh, we're the big dog in the region and we can just start bullying people around, because that's what I'm also afraid of.
Well, the problem is that we've led by a really bad example, and Iran is kind of like, you know, I'm not denigrating the people there, but it's kind of like a medically antibiotic resistant organism.
Yeah.
Right. And like all our tools, which is like the soft power, the sanctions and whatever, we're like, oh, We'll sanction you if you give military aid to Iran. Well, we've been sanctioning Iran for 2+ decades, 3+ decades, 4+ decades. They've learned how to do this stuff by themselves.
Right.
So it's a situation where the usual tools of America that might work on like a Russia, might work on like a EU, might work on a Latin American country. It's just like the Iranians are like, brother, what is this? Like, it doesn't apply.
No, you're right.
Sure.
And here's the thing. I think I'm just trying to look at the long-term implications. I think what Trump wanted to do, once they took the civilians and they plopped them there,
right?
I think it put him between a rock and a hard place because they're not going to bomb infrastructure.
I don't think he wanted to do that.
I don't think he, because he knew the implications, right?
Do we want to throw that up there?
Yeah, we can go. That would be, I added that last second. I think that's like clip number 5, if we have that. Okay, no worries. That's
fine. But what you're talking about here is like the Iranian like families and children went out to the infrastructure and like linked hands around.
The state news asked for them to come to the streets, defend your country, nationalism. We saw that there. And then people actually took that action, right?
Right.
I mean, Iran has a strong sense of nationalism. But what I was going with was I think we got to the point where Trump saw that happen. I don't think he expected that to happen. And he took this as a temporary off ramp, but I don't think, but I don't,
what's going on with the Hebrew in my ear?
Yeah.
Is this Netanyahu telling me what to do?
Oh, no. It's the video itself.
Oh, I
yeah.
You.
But it's not on the screen.
All right, we go ahead.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, it's an off ramp for him to just get off of the conflict.
Sure.
And he's still going to have that 10-day war.
They're
still going to go through the 10-day. I got noise in my
ear. We got feedback in our ears, guys. Yeah. But it's all good. So, yeah, the thing we got to keep in mind here is the Israeli occupation of Lebanon and the Greater Israel Project. And all this is fine and dandy, and all this is wonderful. But until America actually asserts some willpower here, until America actually has some sort of courage and says no to Israel in the region, and all you got to do is stop. Okay, like we're not asking for the dissolution of the state or anything. All you have to do is not invade southern Lebanon. I don't think that's that big of an ask for a piece of the Middle East.
Yeah, but what I mean, with Bibi at the head there, he's got his own issues, right?
Sure.
So he's not gonna concede on the whole Lebanon, because here's the thing. Remember, we'll play those in a second, but Bibi looks at this as survival as well, because they have been going back and forth for a very long time, and I don't think he's going to concede on this one.
Yeah, but he has to. I think so.
Like, I agree.
What happens? Like, do you just get to stay in government forever and be the emperor of the Middle East?
No, I think he's out after the region quiets down or calms down, which he doesn't want to happen. It's kind of like how Zelensky just wants the war to keep going on so he doesn't get impeached.
No, it's like Looney Tunes. Like, they run around with like a giant bomb. You know, like they're like carrying a giant bomb with a huge fuse and like it's like carrying it around.
Like, you can't get me.
Yeah, it's like Tom and Jerry level stuff. I want to go ahead and read a little bit of the Iranian statement in response to Trump's apparent capitulation. This is a statement by Iran's Supreme National Security Council on the 2 weeks negotiation conditions. With this strategy and relying on the unprecedented political and social unity that have been created in the country, Iran and the resistance began one of the heaviest combined battles in history with America and the Zionist regime. And during this time, they achieved all the goals they had planned for this battle. Iran and the resistance almost completely destroyed the American military machine in the region, dealt crushing and deep blows to the massive infrastructure and facilities that the enemy had built and deployed in the region over years of war with Iran, inflicted massive casualties on the criminal American army on a regional scale, inflicted devastating and crushing blows on the enemy's forces, infrastructure, facilities and assets inside the occupied territories, and narrowed the field on all fronts to the enemy to such an extent that not only were none of the enemy's main goals achieved, but the enemy realized about 10 days after the start of the war that it would not be able to win the war in any way. And for this reason, it began trying to communicate with Iran through various channels and methods and requested ceasefire. The noble nation of Iran should know that thanks to the struggle of its children and their historical presence on the scene, the enemy has been begging for more than a month to stop the fierce fire of Iran and the resistance with the country's officials, because it was decided from the very beginning the war would continue until the goals were achieved, including the enemy's regret and despair and the removal of long-term threat to the country, responded negatively to all American requests, and the war has continued until today, which is the 40th day. Iran has also rejected the deadlines presented by the U.S. president several times and continues to emphasize that it does not attach any importance to any kind of deadline from the enemy. We now give the great nation of Iran the good news that almost all the objectives of the war have been achieved, and that your brave sons have fought the enemy to a historic impotence and a lasting defeat. Damn. The historic decision of Iran, which enjoys the unified support of the entire nation, is to continue this battle for as long as necessary until the great achievements are consolidated and new security and political equations are created in the region based on the acceptance of the power and sovereignty of Iran and the resistance. Regional power.
Regional power. Is that what they're saying?
That's basically what this is talking about.
It's very interesting for me to see these things, because both countries have to position themselves as strong,
sure,
and not weak.
Sure.
So, like, this is a
Trump's propaganda. This is propaganda. I just read you a bunch of propaganda.
Yeah, you just read a bunch of propaganda.
It's the news as well.
Right. But, like, we've entered a new generation of warfare. Like, think about it. We didn't have social media to the extent that we do right now,
sure,
in the previous wars, yeah, or conflicts that we've ever had. So now we're kind of seeing like new levels, new like political commentary, new jokes, new like
it's info war.
It's literally info war. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for.
And you see how ahead of the curve this entire operation is, because my dad was talking about all this stuff 30 years ago. And this is why the internet is just a double-edged sword. It's amazing because you can empower yourself. You can learn about anything for free, blah, blah, blah. But also, you know, big government, psyops, intelligence agencies, they all use it, you know, to push these narratives on us. And the militaries and governments do. The presidents and governments do.
Yep.
They know, like, they're trying to program you through that channel.
Right. But this time is a little bit different, because information is very hard for them to control. Imagine living back like 30 years ago, where you got all of your news from,
sure,
like a newspaper, or you got all of your news from an actual like video on TV,
sure,
where you had to go to the news channel. At that point, imagine what people are thinking there. And they're like, it's an echo chamber. It's a real echo chamber at that time period.
Sure.
Now you get a little bit discernment, but I'm still seeing people believe propaganda on both sides. And they're not asking critical questions of like, okay, where are the nuances here?
That's such a great point, because people, you're just right. I'll let you continue. They don't ask questions at all.
No,
go ahead.
They don't.
It's a headline. It's it.
Well, I mean, look, as soon as the 10-point peace plan came out and Trump agrees, you got to read the words that he said. What was the exact wording? He said, agreeable terms that we can work with, or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
We received a 10-point peace proposal from Iran and believe it is a workable basis on which to negotiate.
Right. So the word workable basis does not mean that they agree to everything that is in there.
Right.
And so then you just look at one side and they're like, America lost. Trump conceded. Right. Iran is the winner and the victor. No, no, no. It's not that simple. Right. It's not that simple. But I wanted to go back to that clip before we come to break, is the video of them calling for the Iranian people to rally. Yeah, the state TV. This is a level of them galvanizing the people together. And probably mute the audio and we'll just read the subtitles, because it's in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's not in English. Go ahead and roll that if you guys have it. Number 5, I think.
Tomorrow around the country, power plants, young human chain circles will be formed. Alo Rami, the Secretary of Supreme Youth Council, after suggestions from the people, has invited creative, athletic, and cultural faces to join this human chain near power plants at 2 p.m. I invite all the youth, athletes, artists, students, faculties, tomorrow, Tuesday at 2 p.m.
And that's good enough.
To be at near power plants, which are investments regarding of political beliefs. We'll read a little bit more. Gather around. These are our wealth and belongings. Okay, cut back to us. And do we have the video of them actually doing
it? Yeah, we have the video. That's number 6. You can go ahead and play the response. People took it serious.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get Americans to, you know, maybe surround the McDonald's, prevent it from being destroyed.
Now, but you know what? I think about it. If it was our country being attacked, it wouldn't matter which side of the aisle you were on. People would rally. I mean, there's still a sense of nationalism at the end of the day here.
Sure. Well, it's different because the United States government, what it engages in is terrorism. Okay, so like these people going out there, oh, it's so crazy, they're surrounding the power plant. Well, the power plant shouldn't be getting hit anyway.
Yeah.
Like it really is cause and effect. You have the response from a theocratic regime, which is a response to the evil empire. So like it's really gross.
Yeah, so and I'm not going to turn this into a debate. The word, like, I'm seeing people throw the word terrorism a lot, and I know, like, we're looking at the textbook definition of like what that means. I don't condone the things that we're doing. I don't think we should have been doing the double tap on the school and those types of things. But like, you know, we're making the word tied to something that's like extremism. And I know Trump is pretty extreme right now.
Terrorism is military action or like criminal military action to like enforce, like to try to like get a population to comply with something through fear.
Yeah,
like,
no. And
that's what attacking infrastructure is.
But countries have done this forever on both sides, no matter which country you looked at. Like, terrorism is just kind of like the extreme end of it. Like, I know
I view targeting civilians as terrorism. Like, deliberately targeting civilians and civilian infrastructure is terrorism. Like, when they blow up that bridge, if there are Iranian tanks going across that bridge, if there's an army going across that bridge, that's a legitimate target. Yeah. But just because something might happen in the future because we say so doesn't give us the reason to commit murder. And that's just my position.
No, and I agree with
you. The Geneva suggestion, perhaps?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you on that. It's just, I don't want us to get so far here in America that we're like, we're anti-war, we're anti-against the things that we're doing, but I don't hate my country. And so
the rhetoric
starts coming out almost swings the pendulum too far. That's the problem that's happening in society. We're swinging the pendulum to extremes back and forth.
I'm pretty tired of the government, to be honest with you. But I love my country. And this is the thing. Like, we're talking about the military. We're never talking about the people that are actually serving, actually involved. It's just the thing is it's a tool of the country. It's Uncle Sam's tool. It's Uncle Sam who uses it. So that's who you got to criticize. We're going to be right back. We got more news and breaking information. Got a phenomenal deep dive. One of my favorites, talking about the African gold trade and precious metals and all of it. Going to be getting into that.
Yeah, Democratic Republic of the Congo. A lot of stuff happening. These are stories that are underreported. We're going to be covering that because a lot of the stuff gets covered from Iran, and it is something that's actively ongoing.
It's another example of America helping out. Okay, and we're going to get into Uncle Sam helping out. We also got Amy Dangerfield, joining us here in the third hour. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. I want to let you know right now, thealexjonesstore.com, your place to get all the best vitamins, minerals, nutritional supplements, anything you need. We love you. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, going to be back here in a second.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, giving them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.